I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. As you heard at the top of the hour in the newscast, President Obama has announced that he is canceling a one-on-one meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, originally scheduled to take place next month. This is just the latest chip away at a rapidly deteriorating relationship between Russia and the United States. The mending of a strained relationship between the two countries was one of President Obama's top foreign policy priorities at the start of his administration. Remember the reset button gaffe? Well, the mending of ties never really happened, and recent events have made the relationship between the two countries even more tense. There is, of course, Russia's granting of asylum to NSA leaker Edward Snowden. And then there are laws Russia's parliament passed with the approval of Putin targeting the country's gay population. I'm joined now by David Kramer. He is president of the human rights organization Freedom House and a former State Department official who worked on Russian affairs. David Kramer, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the big news of the day. The story broke just about an hour ago. The president canceling plans for a one-on-one meeting with Putin in Moscow next month. There was a lot of back and forth about whether he would, in fact, cancel this meeting. What was the meeting and why does it matter?
This was a meeting that the two presidents indicated they would hold when they last met on the margins of the G8 meeting in mid-June in Northern Ireland. And the president indicated he would travel to Moscow after a meeting of the group of 20, the G20 meeting that Russia's hosting in early September. And there has been speculation since that announcement in mid-June about whether the president would, in fact, follow through on it, given the deteriorating state of the relations between the United States and Russia. The Snowden situation, I would argue, is simply the final straw. There have been many other problems that were mentioned in the statement issued by the White House this morning, differences over Syria, over human rights, over arms control and missile defense, that really meant that the meeting between the two leaders would have produced probably nothing.
Do you think this was then an appropriate response by the White House?
Absolutely. I had been advocating for the president to cancel his Moscow trip for several weeks, and I think it was a mistake back in June to have announced that he was going to travel to Moscow to meet with Putin. Putin is a leader in the Kremlin who has launched an unprecedented crackdown on human rights and civil society in Russia, unprecedented since the breakup of the Soviet Union. You mentioned the anti-gay campaign that has been launched that has drummed up interest in connection with the Sochi Olympics next February. But we've also seen hundreds of non-governmental organizations raided in the past few months. We've seen convictions of the main opposition leader who also shed light on corruption activities in the government, Alexei Navalny. We saw the conviction after the death of Sergei Magnitsky, who had exposed a massive corruption of $230 million, who was arrested, detained in prison, tortured, and he was tried after he died in order to try to show that he was guilty. It's been an ugly situation inside the country, to say nothing of the huge differences we have over Syria in particular, where Russia has sided with Iran and Hezbollah, as well as President Assad in Syria, and we're essentially on the opposite side. So for many reasons, I think this was the right decision.
And I want to turn specifically to the issues you raise in just a moment. But just to be clear, as of right now, the president is attending the G20 Economic Summit. Is that correct? There had been some calls for him to boycott that as well. Do you think there's any chance President Obama pulls out of the G20 summit?
I think it's likely he'll go. They've announced that he's planning to visit Sweden right before the G20 meeting, so all indications are that he's planning to go to St. Petersburg, and they're describing it as a gathering of the main economic powers in the world, the 20 countries, and so it won't be a bilateral opportunity for the president and Putin to sit down and meet. I would be a little concerned if I were in the White House, though, that Putin, perhaps angered by the decision that Obama made, would look for opportunities to try to embarrass the United States and the president himself, either by having Snowden come out with some leaks right before his arrival. And so there is that possibility. I think they could have thought of sending Vice President Biden to the G20 instead of having the president go. We should remember that last year the United States hosted the G8. I know I'm throwing out a lot of G's here. The G8.
We can follow
and the
along.
G20. But at the G8 meeting that the United States hosted last year, if you recall, Putin decided not to come just days before it was supposed to take place. And it had been moved from Chicago, where it was originally going to be held, to Camp David to get it away from a NATO summit, moved just for Putin, and he decided not to come, and he sent his prime minister, Dmitry Medvedev. I think the U.S. should keep open the option of sending Biden instead of Obama should the situation continue to deteriorate.
Now, you mentioned so many things that have gone wrong with the U.S.-Russia relationship. At the top of the list, Syria, of course, the arms situation, gay rights, human rights, and, of course, most recently, Snowden. And you, as you mentioned, also had been calling for the president to call off this trip since at least June. Which of the things on this list tops your concerns?
I actually would put the Syria and human rights at the top of the list. I think the Snowden issue, while important, is not the biggest reason, and I hope the White House doesn't focus on Snowden. And I'll explain why. In defense of Putin, to use a phrase I use very rarely, in defense of Putin, he didn't ask for Snowden to come to Moscow. Snowden simply showed up one day. Now, Putin, I'm sure, has and will continue to exploit the situation, but I have a little difficulty putting all the blame for the Snowden situation on the shoulders of Putin. Where I do put the entire blame on his shoulders is for what's happening domestically inside the country, with just an ugly crackdown where the authorities are trying to reinstill a kind of fear, an environment where people in opposition and civil society become fearful of speaking out and criticizing the government. And sadly, I think he's succeeded to some extent in that effort. And on Syria, as I mentioned, he not only blocks UN Security Council resolutions that would tighten the noose around Assad, but continues to provide arms and equipment to help bolster Assad's military forces, and that could ultimately pose a threat should the international community at some point finally wake up and decide to do something in Syria. Missile defense is another issue over which we have huge differences, even though the president did offer further concessions on that by canceling the fourth phase of development earlier this year. The Russians simply said that's not enough. So at the end of the day, there weren't going to be any, if you will, deliverables that would have come out of a bilateral summit in early September. And the Snowden situation simply made it even more awkward and possibly embarrassing.
And it has been just about a week now since Russia granted asylum to Snowden. And the rhetoric had gotten very, very heated around the issue. Let's play a clip for you now. Here's Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, on CBS News Face the Nation this past Sunday.
The relationship between the United States and Russia, for instance, is more poisonous than at any time since the Cold War because of all of this. President Putin's behaving like a schoolyard bully, and in my experience, I've learned unless you stand up to that bully, they ask for more and more and more, and he's always going out of his way, President Putin is, to seem to poke us in the eye, whether it's in Iran, in Syria, now with Snowden.
More poisonous than any time since the Cold War. David Kramer, I would think you'd agree with that assessment. Yes, no?
I think Senator Schumer is right. The only thing I would say is he could have made those comments before Snowden showed up in Moscow. Putin is a bully and runs an incredibly corrupt regime in Moscow. There are estimates that the corruption cost the economy roughly a fifth of its GDP. There are reports and rumors of Putin's own involvement in that. So we're talking about a regime, and I do use the word regime advisedly versus government, a regime that is intent on doing whatever whatever it takes to stay in power. And power preservation is the real modus operandi of Putin these days. And if it means cracking heads, if it means arresting the opposition, if it means convicting a dead guy, if it means going after vulnerable groups, if it means denying the defenseless Russian orphans the opportunity to have homes in the United States because it's in response to legislation that the Congress passed last year targeting against human rights abuses in Russia, that's what Putin will do. He's not a nice guy, to put be kind about it.
I'm tight on time, but I have to ask you very specifically about a topic that may not have been on the radar of many Americans, though certainly on some, and that is the treatment of gays in Russia before last month. There are some new laws there that perhaps have brought us some greater awareness on the issue. Tell us a little bit about what has been a long-time concern for human rights watchers, and where did the sentiment behind these laws come from?
They come from the Kremlin, from Putin himself, who has decided that these play well among the Russian population. And so what we have seen is legislation that essentially bans non-traditional activities and homosexual propaganda to minors, the definitions of which are left deliberately elastic, so that these laws can be used against anyone they don't like. But what it has precipitated is an increase in attacks against gay and lesbian transgender activists in Russia, including some ugly incidents of hazing and other attacks. And there is now concern about what this could mean for the Sochi Olympics next February. Russia will be hosting the Olympics in Sochi on the Black Sea, and questions being raised, what about gay athletes, gay families of athletes, sponsors and others who would come? Will these laws be applied to them? My concern is that there's too much focus on what this could mean for the people who will show up for 2 weeks during the Olympics, and not enough attention is being focused on what this means for Russians who live every day inside the country, who may be subject to these arbitrary and capricious laws.
Yes, and there have been some early calls for boycotting the Olympics, which of course has impacts on the athletes who have trained. There may be a segment right there, a full segment to do on that question.
And Jamie, just very quickly, if I can, I don't support an athlete boycott. I do support a leader's boycott of the Olympics. Athletes have trained. They should be allowed to go. The leaders should stay away from it.
Yeah, and we will certainly consider pursuing that segment, that topic, that issue in the run-up to the Games. I want to ask you a final question, and again, we are tight on time, David, but what about the relationship with Russia long term? Obviously a pressing concern. Security issues aside, are there benefits of maintaining or trying to maintain a mutually courteous, for want of a better word, relationship with Russia?
Absolutely. And I think your question gets at a key point, which is it's important to distinguish between the regime and the country and population as a whole. We should do whatever we can to expand contacts with Russian civil society, with the Russian population, while standing up to what is a bully regime. And it's not to say we shouldn't do anything with them. Where we can cooperate, such as on Afghanistan, or if we can on Iran, we should do so. But we should also maintain as much contact with the population as a whole. Russia is a big player in the world. It's on the UN Security Council. It has a veto power. It has nuclear weapons. But Putin has led it down the wrong path. And so I think it's important to distinguish between Putin and the rest of the country.
David Kramer is the president of human rights organization Freedom House. We thank you, David, so much for being with us on this important topic.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
And I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up next, a woman's prison forced to close, but where will the women go?